I'm John Schuck. My website is johnschuck.com. 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 I'm a Presbyterian Church USA minister, and I have been for 27 years. I'm a minister at large in Cascades Presbytery, which covers Western Oregon. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. It is the fourth Sunday of Lent. Places of worship have been closed down. We've lost our freedom of assembly. We have lost our freedom to worship. The gospel reading for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Here is the text. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "Well, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I don't know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. There is a lot in this passage. One verse that immediately caught my eye and ear is verse 4. Jesus said, We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Today, March 22nd, 2020, businesses have shut down. Schools have shut down. Churches, mosques, synagogues, and all places of worship have shut down. People are told to stay home. Protests around the world have stopped. It appears in the United States that we are headed for medical martial law. This could be the same for the entire world. Over what? A virus in which the vast majority of people who receive it have no symptoms. Or if they do have symptoms, they're symptoms of a cold or mild flu. If we didn't watch the news, we wouldn't know anything was wrong. People are so afraid of getting sick that they willingly give up their freedoms, even beg the authorities to take their freedoms and rights away from them to alleviate their fear. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Night is coming. There are many people who are challenging the official narrative. It is likely they will not be able to do this important work for long, as the platforms are silencing dissenting voices and call anything that departs from the official storyline as misinformation or false news. If we wish to hear these voices that are challenging the narratives, we may need to go to websites that are not hosted by the huge corporate platforms. You'll have to search. Free speech will be the next casualty. Night is coming. I'm a member of Religious Leaders for 9/11 Truth, and I have been since 2010. The media continues to lie about 9/11, and so, of course, it cannot be trusted to tell the truth about this coronavirus event. I am more and more convinced that this coronavirus event is a psychological operation by world elites who operate beyond national boundaries. The goal is ultimate social control. Night is coming. President Trump and leaders of other governments are actors reading their scripts. The media reads its script. This has been planned. The starting date for this coronavirus event was October 18th, 2019. That is the date that something called Event 201 was held in New York City. It was a rehearsal for a global pandemic, the very thing that we are seeing now. This is the script created then, or perhaps rehearsed then, that is being played out now. For details, I refer you to James Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, James Corbett of the Corbett Report, for important analysis. Jesus said, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." What are the works of Jesus? Telling the truth is a work of Jesus. Researching for yourself what is happening is a work of Jesus. Connecting dots is a work of Jesus. Admitting to yourself that the world we thought we knew is not real is a work of Jesus. Reminding people who we really are is a work of Jesus. I'm not here to convince you. I cannot. All I am doing is to say what I see and hear, and I am inviting you to do the same. Research for yourself. Trust yourself. Don't seek the approval of others for what you see and hear and know. Check everything, but you decide for yourself what is real. It is very difficult and disconcerting to know who and what to trust and to stand alone when others in their panic try to shut you down with shame. Know that they did the same to the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and they did the same to Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, and they did the same to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the same can be said for all the prophets whose stories we read in the Holy Quran and in the Hebrew Scriptures and in the Gospels. If you are shut down by telling what is real, you're in good company. There are evil forces in control of this world, evil forces that operate in the darkness, evil forces disguised often as angels. We need to know what is real. In today's reading, Jesus heals a man who is born blind from birth. The authorities, the Pharisees, do not want this kind of healing power available in their world. They want to control all healing, even though they are incompetent to actually heal. They want to say what is true for everyone, even as they are blind to the truth. They make people live in fear, casting out of the synagogues anyone who says that Jesus is the Messiah. It isn't about whether it's true or not. It's about control. Jesus proves he's sent from Allah. He proves it by healing the man born blind. That's why they end up crucifying him. Because that's the only answer they have. Might makes right. Silence all truth tellers. The passage concludes from verses 39 to 41. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we're not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Night is coming. I cannot predict how this script will play out. It appears that martial law could happen in America by the end of the week. I don't know. Signs of this are happening now. Do know this, martial law will not be enacted to protect us from a pandemic. That is a ruse. This is a manufactured pandemic, just as 9/11 was a manufactured event. This, however, is far worse. This is a shutdown of the world in preparation for total control and enslavement of humanity, which will likely be fully in place by the end of this decade. I recommend you read the work of David Icke, I-C-K-E, David Icke. The tragedy is that people won't resist it, but actually beg for it. They will beg and are begging for everything to be shut down and for the military to come and protect them because they're afraid. They're so afraid of dying, of getting sick, that they give up their rights, thinking that the modern-day Pharisees are worthy of trust. It is possible that in certain areas of the world, including our own country, various biological agents will be released, killing many people. I mean, they can kill who they want. The point is that all of this is not the result of disease naturally taking its course and that the authorities are protecting us. That is a false story. Think it through. Think it through for yourself. It is possible that some sort of vaccine will be promoted in the coming weeks or months, and it will be mandatory. If you refuse it, you won't get access to food or whatever. This vaccine is not a cure for coronavirus. The vaccine is something else. And the same people who create these bioweapons also created their supposed cures. Problem, reaction, solution. They create a problem that people react with fear. They create a solution which the people accept and even beg for, which is more control, more surveillance, mandatory vaccinations, a cashless society, all to benefit the elite. Night is coming. The World Health Organization, WHO, is now promoting the idea that cash spreads the virus, and we need to be completely digital in regards to currency. This is a severe form of control. Now, when your card doesn't work, you can pay with cash. When there's no cash, those who control your card, guess who, can prevent you from getting what you need. This has nothing to do with slowing down the spread of viruses. It's part of a long-planned agenda. Night is coming. While we are all freaking out over this, laws are being passed to restrict more freedoms. I read this yesterday, March 21st, 2020, on Reason Magazine. Quote, the Justice Department is using the COVID-19 outbreak to press for sweeping new powers that include being able to detain Americans indefinitely without a trial, Politico reports. The department is asking Congress to allow the U.S. Attorney General to ask courts to suspend court proceedings. These include, quote, any statutes or rules of procedure otherwise affecting pre-arrest, post-arrest, pre-trial, trial, and post-trial procedures in criminal and juvenile proceedings and all civil process and proceedings, end quote. This is reported by Betsy Woodruff Swan, citing DOJ documents presented to Congress. In other words, the Justice Department would be able to postpone trials, hearings, and other procedural steps that follow arrest. That represents a potentially huge violation of the constitutional right to a speedy trial. End quote from Reason Magazine. How many rights guaranteed by the Constitution are now gone? Right to assembly, right to worship, right to commerce, right to a speedy trial. Restrictions to free speech and privacy are on the way. Jesus said, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Night is coming. What do we do? One thing. This is the most important. You must control your fear and not let fear dictate your response. Yes, all of this is happening. Night is coming. But you are not your body. You are not your emotions. You are not your thoughts. You have a body. You have emotions. You have thoughts. But you are not them. You are having an experience that is temporary. As the old hymn says, the earth is not my home. I'm just passing through. You will die someday. That is not the end of the real you. You can step back and say to yourself when you're feeling afraid, that's interesting. That's what's happening, but you do not have to be enslaved by whatever it is you're feeling or thinking. That is why the scriptures are full of wisdom and practices, including prayer and meditation, that help us remember who we really are. David Icke says, and I think he's correct, that we are infinite consciousness having an earthly experience. When this experience is over, we go back to who we really are. Take this seriously. We are limited now by our five senses, but that is not who we are. The incarnation of Jesus shows this reality. He was one with God and then willingly gave it up to have a human experience. Then he goes back to God. The point is that his story is all of our stories. We, as we exist in this world, are all incarnations of infinite consciousness. We are infinite consciousness having a finite experience. The example of this in the Christian faith is Jesus. It wasn't just him. He is a teacher and prophet for all of us. And that's why Jesus told the truth. That's why he allowed himself to be crucified. Even as he knew it was coming, he still told the truth. His mission and his message served to awaken us. We are here to continue this work of awakening, even as night is coming. They may kill the body, but they will not and cannot kill the soul. I am a child of God. I will not fear. Repeat that again and again. I am a child of God. I will not fear. We have but one task. We are here to bear witness to what is real. Your courageous bearing of witness can help awaken others. This is how God will defeat evil, by awakening us all to truth, regardless of what others think, regardless of what others do, regardless of the powers of darkness. Seek what is real for yourself. Bear witness to what is real. Do not be afraid. Center yourself. Remember who you are. You are love. You are strength. You are a child of God. Amen. Please share this if you think it is helpful. You can find the text for this sermon with links at johnshuck.com, johnshuck.com, johnshuck.com. I will post what I can, as long as I can, on my website and on my Facebook page, Twitter account, and VK account. I am John Shuck. Be well.